See, I am making all things new. It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. My friends, we are in the end times. I'm sure you've heard this phrase from various religious groups over the years, but mostly from folks who are trying to predict a date for the end of the world. We hear it from Jehovah's Witnesses and others who are concerned with the timing of the arrival of the world's end. We too, as Episcopalians, are rooted in the Catholic and Reformed traditions, also agree we are in the end times. But we're not about predicting dates when it will occur. What we are saying when we say the end times is that the life of Jesus entering into the human condition, who lived, died, and rose again, ushered in these days. Jesus' life, death, and resurrection completes for us God's act of creation and ushers in the final age for us on earth. When this world as we know it ends cannot be known or predicted. Those who try to predict such a time forget that the book of Revelation, like we heard today, is apocalyptic poetry and not actual a series of historical events that will occur. Our reading from Revelation reminds us that in ushering in this new age of Christ, God is making all things new. Christ is the Alpha, all that has ever been, all that is now, and all that will be is created in and through Christ. Christ is the Omega, all that has been, that is, and will be is in Christ. What is important for us in these end times is that Jesus' life ushers in for us a new age of how we are called to live. In our first reading from Acts, Peter has a vision of this new age, an age in which things that were once considered unclean and profane are no longer unclean. The old law has been supplanted in favor of an inclusive welcome of all God's creation. God's chosen ones are no longer just a sect of Jews or a small community. Rather, the Spirit of God is available to all. We hear Peter saying in our reading, "As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them just as it had upon us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, 'John baptized with water, but you will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' If then God gave them the same gift that he gave us when we believed, who was I that I could hinder God?" This was a huge awakening for Peter and the beginning of a new thing God was doing. No longer is God's Spirit available to a select few, but is available to all of us. This lesson of God's inclusiveness, Peter learned, is a lesson for us to take to heart in our day and time as well. As I was just talking last night with some folks about sacred and secular, we try to make this distinction of what is holy and what is secular, but the truth is all of it's holy. All of life is sacred. When we are quick to judge others who are different or share a different faith tradition or no faith tradition, we might be well to remind ourselves of Peter's words. If God gave them the same gift he gave us, who am I that I should hinder God? One of the great sins of the church through the centuries has been an attitude of exclusion, a declaration of chosenness on the part of certain segments of the people of God over other people. The great sin has been to condemn others who are seen as different. It wasn't that long ago, even, mainline Christian denominations taught that other parts of the body of Christ were going to heaven. We saw this attitude among Protestants toward Catholics and vice versa. I remember growing up and being told as a kid, Protestants were not going to heaven. And sadly, this sin is alive and well among many churches and cults within the Christian community to this day. And sadly, it is also alive and well within branches of all the world's religions and traditions. And as a result, someone sent me an article just last week, Christians are experiencing more persecution and death around the globe today than at any other time in human history. And some who call themselves Christians are returning the favor by killing or marginalizing other religious groups. As I'm fond of saying, an eye for an eye leaves the whole world blind. Today's gospel provides us with a test as to whether God's Spirit is at work in an individual or in a community. And there's only one test that Christ leaves us, and that test is love. Jesus says, I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. And by this, everyone will know if you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. God, no longer is God's Spirit reserved for those who follow a formula of laws or subscribe to a list of beliefs. But the mark of a God-filled person is how much they love. Unfortunately, we hear this commandment often so often that we sometimes forget the power behind these words. What does it mean to love as God loves? I believe it begins for us with prayer. In a time of quiet and meditation and prayer, I can acquire an openness to see and experience where Christ is making all things new right here and now in front of my nose. It means being slow to judge, either judging myself or judging others. It requires intentionality to recognize that God is so much bigger than anything I can conceive or even imagine. And Christ is at work in the lives of each and every person, whether they claim a faith in Christ or not. It means striving to get things right within my own life and in my relationship with others and my relationship with God. It means knowing that I cannot do any of this on my own. And if I rely solely on my own power, I will fail miserably. It means humility, to call on God for help so that I might live out this commandment to love, because it is by this and this alone that everyone will know that I am a disciple of Christ. You know, and love comes in all forms. Just last weekend, we had four burials in this place, as most of you know. The burials that happened on Saturday were of people that were not members of St. Peter's, nor were they Episcopalians, nor were they churchgoers. They came because they saw something here. They knew they could come and bring the horrific pain of losing a 24-year-old son to a drug overdose. They chose to come here because they saw the love extended by this community that built and maintains a beautiful burial place for ashes, where they can inter their loved ones and then come back and have a place to sit and visit. They came because they were able to use our parish hall to meet their needs as a family and those grieving friends and neighbors. They came because of the faithful folks who helped with hospitality, who, even though they didn't have to because the event was catered, remained in our kitchen the entire time and in the hall just in case. And as a result, without having to say a word, these people came to know that the people of St. Peter's are disciples of Christ. This, my friends, is how the gospel is preached. Saturday a week ago, some 120 people or more felt God's presence through the witness and love they felt here at that funeral, and in turn gave us a generous financial donation that was not a fee, but given from their hearts as a gift of gratitude. See, I am making all things new. It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. My brothers and sisters, we are in the end times, time in which God's creation has been completed through Christ, times in which God continues to make all things new through his life-giving Spirit, times in which we are commanded to love outrageously and inclusively, times in which we are to call upon God to help us live fully into the commandment of love. And when we do, it becomes obvious that we are disciples of Christ simply by the way we love.